L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
The Super Bowl 59 countdown continues to roll on. Just 5 days away from Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans between the Chiefs and the Eagles. It's a Tuesday of Super Bowl week, and we welcome you to Football Full Circle. That's FFC Live right here on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Just 5 days out from Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl week and all the coverage from Sports Grid continues in New Orleans. And that includes, Scott, of course, a Monday night, the opening media night of each and every Super Bowl week. You get a ton of questions to all the guys out there for both sides, head coaches, coaching staff, players included. We will talk about some of the biggest quotes and, of course, some of the biggest storylines entering Super Bowl 59 and a big dramatic week in the NFL already starting to unfold. We were live yesterday when the Myles Garrett trade request was officially released. And last night, Scott, a lot of talk about Cooper Kupp and maybe the end of his time in Los Angeles with the Rams. A lot to break down on FFC on this Tuesday.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Started doing some of my Super Bowl trend prep work last night, Ben. Found some great trends. I know you and I are going to have a Friday show that's going to be 2 hours. I'll save a lot of them for then. But, you know, it's really an exercise in futility. You know, most people try and find trends to find an angle. I really try and find trends to kind of get me off the ladder, to show myself, if anyone else, that I could find a gazillion trends that say Philadelphia, and I could find a gazillion trends that say Kansas City. So you just try and kind of weed through the process, maybe find one you like. But I started doing that last night, found some interesting ones. And then the Cooper Kupp stuff, I'm not really surprised because we heard rumors during the season about that. And it is interesting how Kansas City, Ben, you know, as far as some of the storylines, they're turning into the bad guy, man. They've really gone 180. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, Cinderella team, everybody loved Patrick Mahomes. Here we are a few years later, and now all of a sudden they turned into the villain. Amazing.
Yep. Travis Kelce was asked exactly about that last night, and he kind of comically said, people hate the Chiefs? Oh, I didn't know that. We'll talk more about Travis Kelce, his plans following this season in terms of his NFL future, and some other quotes from the Eagles side of things from Super Bowl media night on a Monday in the Big Easy. But Scott, let's start with that news around Cooper Kupp. You are correct that midway through the year, after the Rams got off to a porous 1-4 start, it almost seemed like, hey, maybe it's an end to this brief Super Bowl era in L.A. They won a Super Bowl altogether in Super Bowl 56. Matthew Stafford's first year in Los Angeles. A historic year for Cooper Kupp back in 2021, the Triple Crown winner, leading the NFL in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. But the story since was really injuries kind of plaguing his production. And so, Scott, when the Rams got off to that very slow start this year, there was a thought maybe ahead of the NFL trade deadline, they would look to ship away Cooper Kupp, maybe even Matthew Stafford. Well, they rallied. They won a ton of their final games to win a wild card game in the postseason and, of course, give Philadelphia a scare in the divisional round. Maybe the thought was, All right, the Rams are now set once again to make yet another charge with the veteran Matthew Stafford planning to return in 2025, which made what we heard yesterday about the Rams now looking to trade Cooper Kupp rather interesting. And I thought Kupp's response on social media was exactly that, saying, quote, "I was informed that the team will be seeking a trade immediately and will be working with me and my family to find the right place to continue competing for championships. I don't agree with the decision and always believed it was going to begin and end in LA." The end of the first part of Cooper Kupp's statement. Scott, he has been in the NFL for 8 years, third round pick out of Eastern Washington in 2017. He has only ever been in Los Angeles, one of the bright and young, promising wide receivers who has dealt with some nagging injuries over the last few years. And it seems a difficult divorce, if you will, on both sides for these two parties involved.
Yeah, it seems kind of weird, Ben. I'll go back to a joke that people used to say. They probably still do, right? You know, you ask your buddy, "Hey, you going to Bill's party?" And the guy says, "No, I don't want to go." "How come?" "Well, I don't want to go to any party that they're inviting me." You know, it's almost like if I'm invited, then who's going, right? Kind of a similar thing here in that, why would L.A., you know, as far as a trading partner goes, am I looking to acquire Cooper Kupp? Why would L.A. trade him? And I said this during the season, like, He seems to be the perfect fit. You got Puka on one side, you got him on the other side, you got Kyron Williams in the backfield. Good quarterback. I mean, why would anyone break that up? So it seems to me that if the Rams are actually looking to trade you, then I don't know if I really would be interested. On the surface, absolutely. And what we saw to him the last few weeks, boy, he was nowhere close to the old Cooper Kupp, right? So I don't know if his time is done. You know, so these guys, these NFL players, they fall off the cliff. They really do. NBA, hockey, baseball, they kind of slowly fade away. Football players, a lot of times, Ben, just go completely from production to no production. Yeah. So I'd be a little leery. But, you know, on the surface, it doesn't make – as I said in the regular season, it didn't make sense then, and it doesn't make sense to me right now either.
He is 31 years old. He turns 32 in June. He's been around for a while. Of course, 8 years, about to embark on year number 9. But when you come – from the FCS level, you might not be the guy that can be in college for 2 to 3 seasons and then go directly to the National Football League. That, of course, has been Cooper Kupp's story. Overlooked throughout his collegiate ranks, set records at the FCS level at Eastern Washington, and, of course, has done incredible things in the NFL. But Scott, he's only played a full season twice in his 8 years with the Rams. And as we have shared, injuries have been a huge part of this conversation. Just 12 games each of the past 2 regular seasons, 9 in that disastrous Super Bowl hangover year for basically everybody in Los Angeles in 2022. Never quite to that level of the Triple Crown Cooper Kupp that we saw back in 2021, the year the Rams won a Super Bowl. 145 catches, 1,947 receiving yards, very much flirting with Calvin Johnson's record in 16 receiving touchdowns. Again, when you are winning a Triple Crown in the NFL, you are leading the National Football League in every category: catches, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. What's so unique about a guy, Cooper Kupp, Scott, that coming off that season, even in large part entering 2023, still thought of as one of the 5, 10, 15 best receivers in the NFL? He's only been a Pro Bowler once, and that was during the Triple Crown winning year in 2021, the year the Rams won a Super Bowl. One Offensive Player of the Year, AP First Team All-Pro in the NFL as well. But that was really it. Injuries and a lack of production down the stretch, I think, has led to LA making this decision.
Yeah, I guess so. It's weird. You know, these guys, whether it's him, whether it's, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., Amari Cooper, you know, name value, absolutely. But production value, like I said, sometimes it just falls off the map, you know, right away. But I remember when he was on his game, Ben, he was not a guy that was just finding the seam a la Travis Kelce in a zone. I remember distinctly saying, man, they're trying to cover this guy. They're double teaming him. And he was still getting open. He was that good. It's amazing. I wouldn't have guessed 8 years in the league. I must say, if you would have asked me how long has he been in the league, I would have said 4 or 5 years, maybe 6. Didn't realize he's been in the league 8 years. So 31 years old. Yeah. That's at the point where, you know, you kind of stop being productive. And with all his injuries, it's too bad.
32 years old by the time the 2025 NFL campaign begins as well. What does the market look like for Cooper Kupp? It probably is not going to take a first-round pick like it will for Myles Garrett. The other big potential blockbuster trade news around the National Football League. And from a Rams perspective, Scott, we'll discuss it up next. It is a little bit intriguing because it didn't really feel like the Rams, who had made that playoff charge again, we're getting ready to run it back in 2025. Where does this leave LA? We'll discuss up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Back here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Yes, it is Super Bowl week in New Orleans, but that also means a time for the NFL to continue moving the cycle. Scott, we talked about Cooper Kupp and the idea the Rams are now interested in seeking a trade for Kupp, despite the fact that Cooper himself not all that thrilled by the idea after spending the entirety of his eight-year NFL career in Los Angeles and believing that's where he was going to retire when his playing days were through. Again, we can talk about the market for Cooper Kupp, who would need his services. I still think he could add production, maybe not as your number one wide receiver, but certainly fill out a wide receiver room and what the Rams could acquire in return. Probably a couple of early round draft picks. Not sure it's a first-round selection. But Scott, from the Rams' perspective, because of the idea that Cooper Kupp was floated in trade rumors, did not necessarily mean that LA was going to get it done throughout the regular season. But then they didn't even need to trade anybody because they made that run. They won 9 of their next 11 games after a 1-4 start to clinch the NFC West by the end of Week 17. They sat everybody Week 18 and then came out with a vengeance in the first round of the postseason, beating the Minnesota Vikings outright as an underdog in that wild card game in Glendale, Arizona. And they gave the Eagles a test in snowy Philadelphia, covering in the divisional round. And it felt like, Scott, Matthew Stafford has stated his intent to return in 2025. You've got Kyren Williams. You hopefully have a healthy Puka Nacua moving forward, a healthier and rebuilt offensive line. And on the defensive side of the football, you have a young defense that took its lumps throughout the season, but by the end of the year was playing at a very, very high level. The Rams seemed to be, once again, a team that was going to flirt for a playoff spot each and every year. So to make this decision, now to at least part ways with Cooper Kupp, where does that leave Los Angeles in your estimation?
There are a couple things. One, you know, depending on what happens in the Super Bowl, Ben, you know, the Rams may be the one that gave Philadelphia the toughest challenge. I mean, they beat Green Bay, you know, relatively easily. And, you know, they went down to the wire. They had the ball. They had a chance to win that game in the final minute. So if they end up winning Philadelphia in the Super Bowl with you know, by double digits, we'll just say, you know, we'll look back and say, boy, it was the Rams that they had them. Not only did they have them, they had them in Philadelphia in snow, awful weather where you would think it would be ideal for Philadelphia. So, I'm looking at his contract now. There is an out clause where they get to save about $7 million instead of it being a $29 million cap hit for next season. It's going to be 22 if they got rid of him now. Maybe that's causing this a little bit. His salary's not that much, $12 million, but I don't think, first of all, as far as market goes, I don't think they're going to get anything for him. I don't. At this point, 32, production down, you know, decent amount of money. We're not talking $2, $3 million. We're not talking 20, but $12 million. You know what? I'd be surprised if they even got a late draft choice. I really do. I think teams think, okay, they'll just cut him. We can get him for free. So maybe they're trying to clear salary cap space. I think the big winner this offseason is going to be T. Martin with Cincinnati franchise. I don't think they're going to franchise him again. Just haven't seen any indication that they're going to come to terms on a long-term contract with the Bengals. So maybe they're clearing up space and saying, we like the idea. Puka one side. Another really good receiver on the other side. Unfortunately, Kupp can't fill those roles. And maybe let's go after T. Martin.
Yeah, we'll see exactly how that plays out for LA. I still think the Rams are going to be a playoff contender in 2025 with all they have built defensively. And of course, if you have a healthy Matthew Stafford back at the quarterback position, a lot to like right now in Los Angeles, that is for sure. Former tight ends coach for the LA Rams is now the new offensive coordinator in Houston. The pass game coordinator this past year, Nick Caley, makes his way to be Houston's new OC. Scotty has been in the NFL for basically a decade. First 8 years as an assistant coach working in New England under Bill Belichick, has been with the Rams the previous two seasons, 2023 and 2024. Again, as that tight ends coach and passing game coordinator. To me, it's more a statement on Sean McVay once again that if you hold a clipboard for Sean McVay, you become an enticing head coaching prospect or some kind of coaching prospect in the NFL. But Nick Caley makes his way to Houston to be the new offensive coordinator for CJ Stroud and the Texans, entering Stroud's third year in the NFL.
Yeah, and the boy wonder, his tentacles are reaching out into the NFL. I'm amazed, Ben, that there's so much movement. You know, when we talk about coach of the NFL, head coach, or the college coach, really, that jumps all over the place. But I get that. You want to make more money, and the better school you go to, you got to make more money. But in the NFL ranks, I'm really surprised every single year about how many coordinators go here, there. You know, I know it's predicated on them filling a spot, and there is a domino effect. I get that. But, man, if you're Houston, you think there'd be some consistency. It's just amazing to me how a lot of these young quarterbacks in particular, they got to start basically all over again. I mean, you got to line them up with a coordinator that you think is going to kind of have a similar system. I get that, but a new voice, a new face, new way how you handle things. It is amazing how the NFL is just this year. Just you can't look past this year. Washington, you know, for example, great season. You think the prospects of them are getting back to where they were are great, but you just never know because everything changes, Ben, every single year in the NFL.
And Scott, even more so than just Houston as an organization, the OC in Houston for CJ Stroud's rookie season, Bobby Slowick, who was supposed to be the next up-and-coming offensive brilliant mind, who was in head coaching interviews now two off seasons ago. He decides that he didn't want to really pursue many jobs, returns to the Texans. They struggle mightily on the offensive side of the football, at least in comparison to Stroud's rookie season. Slowick fired after the 2024 campaign. We'll see what his future is in the NFL. It's almost a cautionary tale, Scott, in a way to, you know, you bet on yourself, but you take your chances and you better hope you continue to build that momentum, because if you do not, you could be out of a job and looking for a new one very soon.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, he went from being a genius 2 years ago to a dope last year. I mean, yeah, the production wasn't there, but okay. I mean, I just don't understand why they wouldn't have the consistency of, okay, third year, let's make this thing go.
Yeah, that is an interesting move for the Texans, but a new OC now in place. We'll continue to go around the NFL and we'll get some quotes and some bites from everybody last night on a Monday at Super Bowl Media Night in New Orleans. That's next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. It was Monday night, media night, to open up Super Bowl week in the Big Easy inside the Caesars Superdome. Coaches, players, everybody at their own small individual podium getting peppered with questions in meeting with the media. Scott, you don't get all that much except some fun, quirky moments, but of course a couple of big answers as well. Let's start with the Chiefs side of things. There was a lot of conversation, of course, about the Chiefs now being the hated villain in this Super Bowl story. Once an elite team that was looked at as a fun dynasty to start a new era in the NFL, now a team that's old news and not many people want to see be triumphant atop the NFL once again. Travis Kelce even joked, oh, people hate the Chiefs? I didn't know that. Pretty much like that's the story and the narrative at this moment. But Travis Kelce's got at the age of 35, was also asked about what he plans to do moving forward after the end of this season. In fact, where he plans to be in 3 years. His response, quote, hopefully still playing football. I love doing this. I love coming into work every day. I feel like I still have a lot of good football left in me. The end of his quote. Of course, there's been some natural Travis Kelce retirement conversation at this stage of his career. But from the horse's mouth last night, it does seem as though Travis Kelce plans on returning in 2025 and beyond.
Yeah, you know, why not, right? At this point, he's not married. Who knows how that's going to be? Maybe we get a prop bet, no doubt, on whether he's going to announce, you know, he's being engaged. So there already is, right? So there you go with Taylor Swift. It's funny, you know, he's the one, I think, Ben, if you ask fans, they went full circle, right? The up-and-coming team, we need someone that's going to beat Tom Brady. We're sick and tired of the Patriots. There were the Chiefs, the perfect spot, Cinderella team, and everybody loved them, right? And now they've evolved 180 degrees, complete opposite. Now, all of a sudden, they're the villain. Why? Not necessarily, I don't think, for Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid or even Kansas City. I mean, if you ask me one reason why, I think it's Kelce. I think whether it's Travis Kelce or Jason Kelce or his mom, I think, you know, and no offense to Andy, I don't feel this way at all, but I think just in general, we're sick and tired of turning the TV set on and seeing either it's a commercial or it's, you know, Travis or Jason, you know, doing TV shows and everything. So I just think we're just sick of it. So you know what? But he says he's not going anywhere. Why not? As long as he can stay healthy. And you got Worthy now coming up. You got Rashee Rice. You got to figure he's going to come back next year. He doesn't have to be the man, really, and just step up in big games. So I don't know how that's going to part if he continues to want to play. That's kind of a weird situation. Is Kansas City really ever going to say, hey, Travis, we don't want you anymore? He's got 1 year left on his contract. Signed a two-year deal before this previous season. So he's making $17 million next year. So he's set for that. But, why not? If he's enjoying it, why quit?
It, and still being incredibly productive and prolific. Scott, chasing more Super Bowl history is Travis Kelce, three receptions away from passing Jerry Rice for the most total catches in Super Bowl history. And that connection between Mahomes and Kelce, one of the most prolific we have seen throughout the history of the National Football League in the postseason. 12 years for Kelce, every single one in KC. He has been a Pro Bowler each of the previous 10 years. He has been an AP All-Pro performer four of the previous nine. That is how good Travis Kelce has been at a sustained clip throughout his NFL career. But I would agree, Scott, it's kind of not his fault. It's almost by association that Travis Kelce has been the one that you could point at and start to hate because of the relationship with Taylor Swift and NFL fans not being all too pleased that that's been a storyline the last 2 years because of his brother Jason Kelce and the Kelce family becoming a narrative and being on basically every commercial. It's fun, it's marketable, but then it gets too often and too frequent, and then we love to hate it. So it hasn't been all because of Travis's persona, but that's kind of where they are. I think there is some hate for Patrick Mahomes, but still you realize the elite greatness, just the fact that they've won two consecutive Super Bowls, four in the last seven seasons. And Scott, it's really because of all of that that they've been so front and center and, you know, relishing in that success.
Yeah. And then you throw the official stuff in. And listen, no fault of their own, but you can't deny it. They've gotten a whole lot of breaks, that is for sure.
And Travis Kelce, when he was at the mic, used that time to flip the narrative on the reporters, ask the media why they keep running with the officiating narrative around Kansas City. All a part of media night in New Orleans. How about the Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts? That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Yesterday in New Orleans, inside the Caesars Superdome, It was Super Bowl 59 media night. A lot was asked, a lot was said between those guys that will compete in just 5 days on Super Bowl Sunday. Jalen Hurts, Scott, who had a historical and generational performance, albeit in a defeat in Super Bowl 57, was asked about that revenge factor and playing Kansas City in the biggest game of any NFL season for the second time in 3 years. He said the loss in Super Bowl 57, as you might expect, quote, lit a fire in him. It's the same as any other game, said Hurts. And you know, I think the moments are the moments, but ultimately every game has its lessons, good, bad, or indifferent. So just being able to become wiser, grow and mature, and take all these lessons in for the next season and the next games. It lit a flame, lit a fire in me, and to have this opportunity again is exactly what you work for. That was Jalen Hurts yesterday on a Monday in New Orleans. Now, I don't know, Scott, if it was like, oh, we get to see these guys again. We got to try to knock the Chiefs off that perch. I took it more as Jalen Hurts is back in a Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years, now trying to capitalize on that opportunity, not just to have a great statistical day and a great performance outdueling Patrick Mahomes, but end with the ultimate prize, that being a Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah, I mean, because you could also say, all right, it lit a fire on you. What, it took 2 years for the fire to get going? Because this wasn't last year. This was 2 years ago. So where was that fire last year, right? So it was a delayed fire, I suppose. So, you know, sometimes you look into things and then you realize, all right, you know what? It's just nice to be able to say, okay, I was there 2 years ago. And that's this extra source of motivation. Is he going to do any more research and any more game film watching? You know, for this Super Bowl than the previous one, you know, maybe, you know, that would be the case. But I wouldn't put a whole lot of, you know, like, I'm going to now bet Philadelphia because he's got a fire under his belly because they lost 2 years ago. Come second half, third quarter, that all that stuff gets thrown completely out the window. And, you know, and if you're a Philadelphia fan, it's good to hear, but, you know, is it half full, half open, or half empty? He played great, you know, except for that one fumble 2 years ago, and they still lost.
Right.
So for those expecting the same type of performance, you know, is that going to be enough this year versus him not playing nearly as good, you know, and maybe they win, but you can't look at it as, boy, as good as they were 2 years ago, he played great and they still lost the football game.
Yeah, absolutely so, Scott. And even that strip sack that allowed Nick Bolton to take it back 32 yards tied up the game midway through the second quarter at 14-all. The Eagles scored 10 points in the final 2.5 minutes of that opening half to take a double-digit lead into the break, 24-14, only for Kansas City to come from behind and win a Super Bowl that has started this two-consecutive-year streak of a Lombardi Trophy. By the way, KC came back from down double digits early in the opening half against the 49ers in Super Bowl 58 exactly a year ago. Jalen Hurts, though, Scott, was great in that matchup. There is no doubt about it. 28 of 37, 304 yards, a touchdown. Was Philly's leading rusher. 15 carries, 70 yards, and three rushing scores. In his market, in terms of his prop prices for Super Bowl Sunday, starting to move ever so slightly. Passing yards prop up by just one, but now 211.5. And that rushing yards number, that was 41.5, 40 in a hook, now down to 36.5. I don't know if the odds makers were keeping a keen eye on Jalen Hurts as he was walking up to his mini podium last night. And maybe the left knee looked a little bit shaky, or Jalen Hurts had much to say about it. I doubt he would reveal too much. But that rushing yards prop, Scott, dropping by 4 yards, that's some substantial movement, at least in the 5-day buildup to Super Bowl 59.
Yeah, that really is. That's a big drop, you know. Generally, if it moves at all, it goes up because, what, 9 out of 10 people, realistically, 8 out of 10, I would think, when they bet these props, you're betting the overs. I mean, I really, you know, hear anyone say, boy, I love the under on this, right? They're always betting the overs. So for it to go the other way,
Yeah. Interesting.
I can't see Philadelphia going in the shell with Jalen Hurts. We talked about this. I think it's up to him. I think Barkley's got to get his yard. Everyone's got to do what they're supposed to do. You know, the question mark to me is Jalen Hurts with his health and everything else going on. And I maybe they get some kind of game plan that they hear that they're not going to utilize him, scramble the ball as much as they normally do. But I'd be surprised with 2 weeks off. I really would.
Yeah, me as well, Scott. We had the Pro Football Doc, Dr. David Chow, on the early line yesterday. He was kind of talking about that idea and how magical the additional week during Super Bowl buildup can be. And one of the great things that he and his team do, they have a quantifiable score out of 100. So instead of some guy like Scott and I being like, hey, we expect Jalen Hurts to be 85%, you put it out of 100 to what he can be. Dr. Chow said their estimated model has Jalen Hurts in the low 90s by the time Super Bowl Sunday comes around. You would expect him to be rather mobile. Scotty had 10 carries for only 16 yards, but 3 touchdowns in the NFC Championship victory against the Commanders. Yet he didn't look overly healthy. He wasn't taking off and breaking contain. He wasn't using those long strides that we often see, which can be such a dynamic quality of how he plays quarterback. We would expect healthier. The prop market saying otherwise. Of course, we will monitor, and tomorrow is our first day during actual Super Bowl week to get those practice reports. Jalen Hurts did not have a designation on the final injury report from the end of practice last week on a Friday.
Yeah, I don't expect anything crazy. I really don't, even with this drop. I mean, first of all, I don't think they would tell you anyway, right? I mean, they could get away with just saying questionable, probable, and that could be anything. There's no repercussions with the Super Bowl if you're really counting on them saying, oh, yeah, you know what? He really is a little bit more hurt than we thought he would be. So I like that prop. Heck, he could get that prop, Ben, even if they don't even run him. Yeah, he could just get that on scrambles, just, you know, pass plays that no one's open, and he's going to be able to run the football a little bit. So I do like, you know, I like that 40 yards. And that might not be a bad one to, you know, do a little just in line, you know, 50 yards, maybe 55 yards. I don't know if I'd go much higher than that, but, you know, these quarterbacks break one off. It goes for 15, 20 yards, and you're halfway there.
Yeah, and Scott, it's always the interesting thing, right? Jalen Hurts is going to play. The injured guys, even if they're not fully 100%, are going to play. Just what is that level of effectiveness in terms of where they stand entering Super Bowl 59? Now, Kellen Moore was the offensive coordinator, is the offensive coordinator for Philadelphia. And of course, yesterday in the Big Easy was met by a lot of media. Offensive coordinators, not often the subject of the entire focus on the opening night of Super Bowl week, but when you've basically been listed and reported as the front runner for the Saints head coaching job, of course, you'll have a lot of local enthusiasm. Kellen Moore was asked about the process of meeting with the Saints and starting those preliminary interviews, and he said it's obviously been a good process, having an opportunity to meet with Mickey. That would be Mickey Loomis, the GM of New Orleans, and their leadership group has been great, and it's set up in a way that allows us to focus on this game, and we'll see what happens after that. Of course, Kellen Moore would say we are only focused on the biggest game of a year, Super Bowl 59, but a lot of attention paid to the Eagles offensive coordinator last night in New Orleans.
Yeah, you know, listen, he was the coordinator in Dallas, right? So he's faced this before. He's a bit under the pressure and the microscope and all that other stuff, but still, you know, if you think you're really getting this job, and I would think he would pretty much know, right? I mean, I'm sure the Saints said, yeah, you know what? You're at the top of our list here. So they have to let him know, right? That he's going to be the guy, yeah. I would think. To be able to divide that attention, you know, I'm sure this has been a goal of his for the last, you know, since he's been into coaching, you know, as a football player himself, that he wants to be the head coach. And now you got the job, and now you got to worry about, okay, Philadelphia. I mean, it does seem kind of tough. And then you got all the other goofy stuff that's going on with Saints off the field as well. That's got to be on his, you know, at the back of his mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's an interesting situation right now in New Orleans for that organization. Roger Goodell, NFL commissioner, asked about those reports yesterday as well. It's a lot of speaking right now, playing to come in 5 days on a Sunday. Plenty more on FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. 5 days away from Super Bowl 59 yesterday, media night in New Orleans to officially kick off all of the pageantry that is Super Bowl week in the Big Easy. Scott, for the first time during a Super Bowl week, Saquon Barkley up at the podium speaking in his first year in Philadelphia, called the opportunity to be there a dream. And that has really been where Saquon Barkley has elevated this Eagles franchise. Scott, yesterday we were going up and down the checklist, right, of the advantages in the edges, in positional groups compared to one another, coaching positions compared to one another. In my estimation, the largest matchup advantage probably in Super Bowl 59 between Philadelphia and Kansas City is Saquon Barkley at the running back spot in comparison to either Kareem Hunt and or Isaiah Pacheco, or just both of them totaled together. Having Saquon Barkley could be the pinnacle and the X factor for Philadelphia to change things from Super Bowl 57 and come out on top and victorious in Super Bowl 59.
Yeah, one of the lowest non-quarterback odds to win the MVP in a long, long time as well for Barkley.
Yeah.
He's a few yards away from setting some real great accomplishments. How about 30 yards away, Ben, from breaking the all-time record for most yards in a season rushing? Not just regular season, but regular season and postseason. Only 30 away from Terrell Davis's great year in 1998. 169 yards away from breaking the record for postseason rushing yards. I found this little interesting, little stat. When teams put 8 men in the box, like I think Kansas City is going to try and do to start anyway, he averages 3.93 yards a carry, which actually is not that bad, really, when you think about it. But when defenses put 6 or 7 men in the box, he's over 6 yards a carry. So, he clearly takes advantage of the opportunities when they're presented with them. So what does Kansas City do? I think they're going to put 8 men in the box. I think they're going to say, okay, Jalen, you got to throw the football. You're going to have to prove to us you can. And I think Jalen will be able to throw the football. And then that's when I think Kansas City's in a whole lot of trouble. Once they realize, all right, you know what? He's picking us apart, throwing the ball down the field. We can't put 8 men in a box. We got to drop him. And then they run Barkley. So that's why I think, Philadelphia, I think they're going to put 30 points on the board. I really do.
Yeah, the Eagles have so much offensive talent, as do the Chiefs, but this Eagles team feels stacked and maybe even elevated from a similar cast and crew just a few years ago. Jalen Hurts remains, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, they're still there. Dallas Goedert, healthy at the tight end spot, all of that. Now, Miles Sanders was having a great year for Philadelphia in 2022, not a historic and record-setting year like Saquon Barkley has already delivered up until this point, the first 20 games of his Eagles career, 19 in total, in fact, of course, sat out week number 18 and throughout this playoff run. Scott, we were breaking this down earlier on the early line about how do you compare Kansas City and Philadelphia in the backfield? There really isn't. Saquon Barkley is the best running back in the National Football League. You can credit maybe Saquon Barkley himself for the resurgence of the running back position that was left for dead just a few years ago in NFL conversations. We are having a conversation about establishing the run for a Super Bowl that felt like it would fade from memory in just a few years, only a couple years back. But there is no doubt, Scott, the Chiefs still have to be effective on the ground. Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco and heck, maybe even Patrick Mahomes, the trio of them, might not combine to match what Saquon Barkley can do, but they have to be effective. The running backs for Washington in the NFC Championship game against Philadelphia, 19 carries for a total of 51 yards, just about 2.7 yards per pop. Jaden Daniels was the leading rusher, but not much out of the backfield. Kareem Hunt's number, 43.5 for Super Bowl 59 on the ground. Isaiah Pacheco, Scott, the other running back compliment, of course, 21.5. How much does KC need out of its ground game to keep pace with the Eagles in Super Bowl 59?
Well, I think a lot. I mean, they need to be able to get 80 to 100 yards. They have to show that they're just not going to throw the football down the field. They just don't have those weapons on the outside like they used to. And maybe like they will with these same players, a year or two down the line. So I think they're going to have to prove that they can run the ball a little bit. You just can't have Patrick Mahomes throw 40, 45 times in order to win. So, and you don't want to go 3-and-out in those situations either. Then you're really giving the ball back to Philadelphia and, what type of possession you're going to lose. So Not a bad little bet, time of possession. I don't know if your websites offer that, but I would think Philadelphia would win this one. So back to your question, though, with Hunt and Pacheco, we'll see how much they utilize Pacheco, but it's basically been Kareem Hunt. Yeah. Touchdowns in six straight games, oh, by the way, for him. So I would think, like I said, if they don't get 75 yards on the ground outside of Mahomes scrambles, then I think they're in trouble.
Yeah, Scott, there is a prop for Kansas City as a team in their total rushing yards output for Super Bowl Sunday. For the Chiefs to have 100+ is -210. To have 25 more yards is +115 as a team. These are not over-unders, just a yardage with at least amount in what the associating price is with it. Scott, what's really fascinating, when you look at Patrick Mahomes' passing props, 250.5. His attempts prop, though, stands out to me most. It's 36 and a hook. To your idea, the Eagles are one of the best defensive fronts in the NFL, the best overall defense all year long. We all believe KC is going to struggle to effectively run the football against this Birds defense. And yet, Scott, that's being priced in Patrick Mahomes' attempts prop at 36.5. The most Mahomes has thrown the ball so far in this postseason, 26 times against the Bills, only 25 times against the Texans. The Chiefs as a team ran it 35 times for 150 yards against the Bills in the AFC Championship game. So I think they know that it needs to be a priority offensively, and I think some of those numbers in terms of total rushing yards for Kansas City are intriguing, especially knowing that Patrick Mahomes in these huge and significant spots, it's where he best utilizes his legs. In the AFC Championship game against Buffalo, 11 carries for Mahomes, 43 yards, and multiple rushing touchdowns. We'll continue the conversation. Football Full Circle next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
A couple of retirements announced in the National Football League in the last couple of hours as we enter Super Bowl week, of course, looking forward to New Orleans. Mason Crosby officially, Scott, announces his retirement from the NFL after 17 years, the longtime Green Bay Packers kicker, who really hasn't been all that active the last few seasons. And Micah Hyde, one of the great defensive backs and all-pro safety for the Buffalo Bills after 12 years in the NFL, also officially announcing his retirement within the last hour. Super Bowl week is one thing, the build up, the prep, and getting everybody ready. But Scott, it's also a time for the rest of the NFL to kind of have some of that shine before the offseason once again. So you get a lot of news and notes and things of this nature throughout Super Bowl week as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, why do it in the middle of, we'll say, March when there's nothing going on? And who, you know, if you're Mason Crosby or Micah Hyde, you know, nice players, right? But they're not going to create any headlines. Now everyone's kind of paying attention to the NFL, so you just kind of get caught up in things. 17 years in the league, Crosby was good, but it's funny. I kind of remember him more for the times that he struggled. Don't ask why, because he had some weird, like, awful streaks, I remember, versus the, you know, being in the league 17 years, you got to be actually halfway decent. And not so much with Micah Hyde. Good player, you know, 12 years in the league. That's not a bad, you know, way to make a living. You can survive 12. Not many guys survive 12 years in the NFL, on defense especially.
That's for sure. Career field goal percentage for Mason Crosby, 81.3%. As of this moment, Scott, 17 years, you start to add up the longevity. Is the NFL career leader in terms of extra points made and attempted? 739 and 760. 17 years in the league, where, of course, in the latter half of his time, too, you saw offense be on the uptick around the NFL. A Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers back during the 2010 NFL season. Crosby was not active this year in 2024. Even when the Packers had some kicking struggles, they turned to another veteran and Brandon McManus then bring back Mason Crosby. But he bids the NFL adieu after 17 total seasons. Mike Hyde, again, all-pro safety for the Buffalo Bills, was part of the resurgence of this Bills franchise, who had missed the postseason for such a long, long time from those four consecutive Super Bowl trips in the early 90s. They had not been there from that point, really, I think, until 2017, or at least a long drought until 2017, and anchored the defense as they started this five consecutive year run of winning the AFC East. So Micah Hyde also saying goodbye to the NFL. A lot, Scott. There is a lot that will happen the rest of this week from New Orleans. I just saw a photo of our Donnie Wright side speaking with Ed McCaffrey on Radio Row, father of Christian and now Luke McCaffrey, who just finished his rookie year with the Commanders.
I remember him with the Giants, and I'll date myself. I remember him as the player, not so much the dad. You know, the field goal kicker, back to that for a second, Ben, it's kind of like, to me, the closer in Major League Baseball, right? They don't get a lot of respect. I don't know if he'll be in the Hall of Fame or not. There's so few field goal kickers in the Hall of Fame. But to me, I always thought, much like with the closer, it's part of the game. You know, I know he's not getting a bat four times. I know he's not pitching six, seven innings. I get that. And with field goal kickers, I get it. I understand he's not catching passes, throwing passes, making tackles. But as long as field goal kickers are in the game, he was clearly one of the best. I won't say the best by any stretch, but he was clearly one of the best. He should be a Hall of Famer. But the question isn't necessarily him. It's, does the field goal kicker belong in the Hall of Fame?
A very important position, Scott. Granted and taken for granted, slightly maybe even overlooked when they're out there doing what you would expect. How hard is it to kick a field goal even from 50-plus yards nowadays? They don't have 300-pound defenders bearing down and trying to sack them each and every time they get the football, or they're not the 250-pound defenders coming downhill to make a tackle in the hole. But if you have kicker struggles, that's where things get dicey and can literally cost you football games. By the way, our two kickers for Super Bowl 59, Harrison Butker, Jake Elliott. 7.5 the points prop for Butker, 6.5 the number for Elliott. Scott, it's a time to look at those Super Bowl props. Longest field goal for Super Bowl Sunday, by the way, 47.5. Not necessarily the longest that you would think in the National Football League.
Yeah, I'd stay away from Elliott props, I'll tell you that. 1 of 8 field goal attempts from 50 yards or more. Rest of the NFL is 71% this year. He was awful from the long distance.
He's already missed 3 extra points as well throughout this Eagles postseason run. We'll see if that turns to be costly, if at all, during Super Bowl Sunday. He's Scott. I'm Ben. FFC returns Friday for a Super Bowl preview, noon Eastern time.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.